I never went on a camping trip with my father, at least not one that I can remember. Dad, if you're listening, no hard feelings. It never really bothered me because I didn't know what I was missing. By the time I started RVing with my own children, about 5 years ago, I was having too much fun with them to get all sad and mopey about the past. So why do I bring it up? Because I think my personal lack of father-son camping time has subconsciously inspired me to try and be a better father. Too many fathers that I know struggle to find quality time to spend with their children. Not me. My family spends over 40 nights a year in our RV, weekends in the spring and fall, and long trips in the summer. And when it comes to spending quality time with my children, my cup runneth over. I know who they are, and they know me. Sometimes in the summer, I even wonder if we are spending too much time in the RV and not enough time at home. There have been two occasions where after 16 days on the road, I have wanted to extend our trip, but wondered if it was best for the boys. So we asked them if they wanted to keep traveling or go home. They said that they missed Grandma and their friends, so we packed up and went home. That simple. But over the last year, the boys have become more and more comfortable on our longer and more adventurous trips to places like Cape Cod, New Hampshire, and Acadia National Park. Now when we get ready for a camping trip, Max always asks if this will be a long trip or a short trip. Why? Because Max loves his long trips. Good thing, because Mommy and Daddy do too. Travel guides to Montana, Wyoming, and Utah have already been purchased, and they will be used. So why do these trips matter so much to me as a father? And why do my boys share that love? Because RVing allows us to leave behind all of life's distractions and unnecessary material possessions and just focus on each other in beautiful and adventurous landscapes. Think mountains, rivers, streams, oceans, sunsets, and night skies filled with stars. And did I mention Camp Store ice cream? Why else do I love RVing with my children? Because on a very personal level, it has transformed fatherhood into my greatest and most satisfying adventure. Too many dads think that the fun ends when the kids are born, and that their days of being young and easy are over. But I feel reborn each time I hitch up and head out. For me, the adventure is always just beginning.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our family's adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about the great American tradition of the family road trip. We truly believe we are helping our boys develop some pretty amazing qualities as we hitch up and explore this big and beautiful country. Road trips with kids are not always easy, but on this episode, we will share why we think they are absolutely worth it.
We are also incredibly excited to share a terrific campground review from our first RV Family Travel Atlas correspondent from the wild and beautiful state of Utah. Brett Nielsen is going to tell us all about Devil's Garden Campground in Arches National Park.
And a review of Trailerama, a fun and fabulous coffee table book that has been getting a lot of page views in our house lately.
All of this and so much more on episode 20 of RV Family Travel Atlas, The Family Road Trip, What's in It for the Kids?
So before we start talking about our featured topic this week, the family road trip and what's in it for the kids, we wanted to take a minute to just read some comments and some emails that we got from our listeners this week. It was really nice because we got a few emails that were so on point with what we were thinking about this week for our episode.
It was like a rich and rewarding week with a lot of great letters.
Yeah, we had started to talk about sort of what we think the benefit is for our kids in what we do. And then this week, we really got some beautiful emails. Yeah,
two or three emails of people talking about the same thing, about camping with their kids.
Yeah.
So one of the first letters that I wanted to read is from Ryan. And he covers a bunch of topics here that are interesting. So Ryan said, I want to say that I very much enjoy listening to your podcast and reading your blog. It is nice to hear similar stories as our family's adventures since venturing into the world of RVing a few years ago. I will also say that it's nice to have content that is focused around camping and traveling with the family and working full-time as well. Most of the podcasts and blog content I have found is typically focused on camping at later stages of life without the kids and such. Not to say that there is no other family-focused RV podcast. I just have not stumbled on any. And I do feel like we are filling a niche out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we do what we do, is because we think that people who are in the midst of raising a young family don't – it's hard to do.
Yeah, I guess that's what's crazy about us, isn't it? Is that we're working full time, taking care of the kids, and then doing podcasts.
Yeah, but we just really felt passionate about it, and we loved it.
Maybe that's why there's not a lot of competition. He goes on to say, I also wanted to comment on a few things that seem to be brought up with some regularity on your show. I can 100% recommend skipping the pop-up, which is becoming a little bit of a theme. And no offense to our pop-up listeners. So I'm waiting for someone to write in and defend the pop-up.
We have some of those comments. We'll read your letter on air.
Okay. Renting a trailer prior to purchase and finding an RV salesperson that you connect with. We did all three, and to be honest, it was one of the most thought-out purchases we have ever made as a family. I still talk to our salesman, and now we exchange Christmas cards. Funny, right? And then he just goes on to say how rewarding it is to travel with his boys, who are 2 and 5 years old, and how it's sometimes challenging, but always fun.
I kind of felt bad that we didn't send White Horse a Christmas card.
We should have sent Rick, our sales guy at White Horse, a Christmas card.
Right, I was like, oh, what kind of person
am I? Because Rick is the man. And this is not being paid for by White Horse or by Rick.
Oh, gosh,
but I do like Rick enough to send him a Christmas card, and he is our RV salesman.
Yeah.
And we're going to buy our next RV from him. Don't tell him.
Yeah, no, because
I don't
want to
get rid of
sale.
Any of my haggling power.
Okay? Yeah, he can't know.
Don't let Rick know that we're going to buy from him next time. Now, you had a really nice letter you wanted to read.
I did. And this, we got this note too, in reference to our New Hampshire adventure guide, which is nice because we've said before we want to strike a balance between like the utility pieces, you know, like people.
Nothing wrong with saying utilitarian. That makes sense.
I don't know.
Practical.
The practical pieces and also those really good travel pieces. So this note kind of said, oh, we're doing that. And that was good. Beth wrote, enjoying the podcast, even with the accent, LOL. Yes.
We were mocked for our Jersey accents by a Colorado native.
No, she was nice about it. She wasn't mocking.
Oh, she's funny. She's a sweetheart.
I grew up in New England, Rhode Island, and Connecticut area and lived in New Hampshire for 10 years before moving to Florida. I have to say, listening to the podcast and your explorations made me so homesick for Franconia Notch and my beloved White Mountains. My husband and I made the trip up to the Notch the year before the old man in the mountain fell off. I am so happy to hear all about the boys enjoying this incredible, natural, beautiful spot. And also, please stress to your listeners that children who grow up camping have a greater appreciation for our natural wonders and are much more likely to support taking care of this planet long after we are gone. Those are values that we will instill in our children and hopefully generations to come. People who have never camped in the woods never know the wonderful cricket-filled stillness and the immensity of the star-filled sky away from the city lights. What you are doing is giving your children a lifetime of memories and encouraging them to build their own when they grow up. Great job. Thanks for sharing with the rest of us.
Sweet letter.
I know. And the thing was, is she basically like wrote our podcast for us this week. I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about this week, is what we think we're doing.
Instilling in the kids.
Yeah, for our kids. Right. And another thing that I loved about this letter is it emphasizes what we get from so many of sort of the people that are grandparents' age that we meet at campgrounds, they love to tell us how wonderful it is for them to have the memories that they have with their children.
And we hear time and time again from older RVers that when they get together with their kids, that's what they talk about.
That's what they talk about, and they tell
the
stories.
They talk around the dinner table, and they tell the stories from the RV trips. So I look forward to that. We had some nice iTunes reviews this week. We wanted to thank everyone who wrote us an iTunes review. Thank you. And if you haven't written us an iTunes
review, you can add yourself to the list.
Please do. So Lane Vids wrote in and said, I have been looking for a great family RVing podcast, and after some searching, I finally found you guys. This is the best podcast for RVing families. It is professionally done, sounds great, and is full of great information. Thank you guys for filling this need. I think it should be said, this Lane Vids, he's like a celebrity on YouTube. He's got like 70,000 followers on YouTube.
Yeah.
And they put up a funny family kind of comedy sketch, instructional comedy type video every Saturday morning.
Like family activities.
Yeah, we watched a few of them. One of the ones we watched, they were trying to make like super bubbles out of what were the ingredients?
It's like Dawn soap and
Then they went out in the backyard with one of the kids and they made these gigantic bubbles.
Yeah, so simple backyard fun.
So check out Lane Vids on YouTube, and he's on Facebook too. Then the next iTunes review says our favorite RV podcast.
Well,
of course. Okay. This podcast pushed us over the edge into finally getting an RV. The hosts also convinced us to get the right RV for us. Sounds cheesy, but it's 100% true. I don't think it sounds cheesy at all.
No, that's not cheesy at all.
It's so hard to find good RV content for people in their 20s and 30s, and this is definitely it. So thank you for that one. Then the next one said was titled Fun for Family Campers. Just found the podcast and tearing through all the past episodes to get caught up. Keep up the good work. And I would say to you, keep tearing.
Yeah, keep tearing, right? It's like the
gotta
Netflix
catch up.
Binge of podcasts,
people are
right?
Binge listening to RV Family Travel Atlas.
Right, you got
to
catch up too because you don't want to miss something.
I love it.
Like,
I love
you
it.
Have to know all of our references.
And then the last one says great tips. Really enjoyed the 8 tips for campground owners. Who wouldn't sell ketchup at a camp store?
Oh, yes.
And this iTunes review we know was written by a future campground owner. They're going to open their campground in 2016 out in Nevada City, California.
It says Nevada City, and we had actually somebody had commented on our Instagram feed from Nevada City and a new campground owner.
And I don't remember the name of the campground now, but at the end of the show, we'll give you the name of that campground because they have a Facebook page and a website.
Mm-hmm. So interesting, too. And it looks like they have a really great project going on out there. But they listened to our 8 tips for campground owners, and she made some pretty funny comments.
Yeah, we were back and forth with them on Instagram. Was it the in-town campground in Nevada City,
I didn't want to say it until
California.
We were
sure. Yeah, you could also just Google Nevada City, California campground, but we'll get you the name. And we'll put it in our show notes. We'll do that as well.
Okay.
We're detecting a trend. Let's just say this. We have been in contact. We're detecting a trend. You don't want to give it away?
No, go ahead. Give it away. You already
started. We're detecting a trend where we're seeing a lot of young families opening campgrounds, a lot of young campground entrepreneurs. We've come in contact with 3 different families who are I think they're like in their 30s. Who are opening up some really kind of cool, stylish, almost kind of retro themed type campgrounds.
Thing going on.
And these places look awesome. And we're gonna talk more about these campgrounds in a future.
We're interested in it. We're keeping our eye on it.
We're keeping our eye on this trend because we keep our finger on the pulse of all RV trends, and we do it for you, for our listeners.
It's like a sneak peek into a future episode.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna come back in a second, and Stephanie's gonna read one of my favorite blog posts that she put up a while ago, but is very relevant to tonight's featured topic, the family road trip. What's in it for the kids? We'll be back in a second.
A funny thing happened the other night. I was putting Wes down to sleep, singing and rocking and such. As I placed him down in his crib, I whispered, "I like you." As soon as I said it, I laughed aloud in the quiet, dark room. I always told Wes I loved him before leaving the room, and I have no idea why something else came out of my mouth that night. Those words sounded so funny, so odd. "I like you." What a weird thing to say to your baby, right? The more I thought about it, though, the more it seemed like the perfect thing to say to a child. Of course I love Wes, but I really, really like him too. He makes us smile all day long with his goofy grin and sly sense of humor. Max and Theo stop in the middle of a game and run across the room to give him a snuggle. They practically cheer when Wes wakes up in the morning. He brings us joy, and we feel blessed that he joined our family. A few weeks ago, while I was sitting on the couch chatting with Max and Theo, I asked if they knew what I admired most about them. I explained to Max that I was smitten with his tenacity. If he sets his mind on some project or goal, nothing and no one, including his parents, is going to stop him. His passion is incredible. I told Theo that his curiosity about the world around him is magical, and I hope he never loses his special relationship with the word why. We tell our children that we love them every single day of their lives. I know this is important, and believe me, we will continue to do that. Lately, I've been thinking it might be a heck of a lot more meaningful to them if we tell them why we like them. What about their personalities impresses, surprises, or inspires us? And here's the tricky question. How often as parents do we put them in situations that allow their personalities to shine? It is hard to like your child when you are in a situation that requires you to follow him around repeatedly saying no. I have a difficult time liking the boys when they are pummeling each other with karate chops in my living room while I am on the phone. That same energy becomes charming, though, when it is taken into the backyard, the beach, a campground, or up on a mountain. The boys are welcome to swing sticks and yell and run when they are in those environments. What made me want to rip my hair out inside seems energetic and magical outside. Spring weather is going to return, so let's make sure we create lots of experiences that help us like our children more every day. Kids can be demanding and stressful and whiny and exhausting, but they are also energizing and charming and hilarious. Most of the time, we just have to view them against the right backdrop. In the coming camp season, I wish you longer, warmer days that end with you being able to tell your children, after kissing them goodnight, I really, really like you.
So, Stephanie, are you suggesting that you like our boys better when we're camping?
I'm thinking that that's the point, yeah.
I'm thinking you're right.
Yeah, I think that all of our best qualities really shine when we are in our adventure mode.
The boys and you
yeah.
and I.
Oh, absolutely. Right. And I think that maybe
it's the best version of ourselves.
Yeah, and I think that maybe in the past on this podcast, we've spent a lot of time talking about why we like, right, what we do and why this is wonderful for us. But I think that over the past couple of weeks, we were thinking, well, maybe we need to take the time to think about what we're giving our kids.
And also, I think it's been developing in them, right? Like they've been taught, you know, our RV is winterized right now, but we're talking about spring camping and summer camping, and they're talking about it a lot too.
Yeah. I mean, they're at that age where those kind of things start to come out, where all of a sudden you realize they're little sponges. And all right. of the stuff that's happened in the first, like, 6 years of their life is now really coming out.
Yeah. So this week we kind of spent some time thinking, like, what gifts are we giving the children by traveling with them,
mm-hmm.
by taking
yeah.
these RV trips, by spending 40 to 50 nights on the road? What
yeah.
positive character traits are developing in them?
Right. And traveling the way that we do travel. We've said it before and we'll say it again. We feel that the journey of the road trip is very important. And we feel that the campground experience is very important.
So important.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And they love it so much. So tonight's feature topic is the family road trip. What's in it for the kids? So here's our list.
Came up with a list.
The gifts that we're giving the kids and the positive traits that we see growing in them. So the first thing is flexibility. Why do we think our boys are becoming more flexible young men, as it were?
Right. So I think that we spend a lot of time talking about structure and bringing that routine with you on the road. And that's important. You will hear me tonight and then a million times in the future say, I really believe you need to kind of keep to the same bedtimes and nap times.
Well, it's like a frame though,
yes.
right? It's like a skeleton of structure. It's not every minute
yes,
being structured.
Exactly. It's sort of like bringing the sense of familiarity along with you in key
places in the day.
Yeah, so that you really keep happy kids. But then within that, you teach them that anything can happen and they can be anywhere and it's going to be a grand old time.
Yeah, and that they're going to, you know, they're going to come into a new environment and they're going to conquer that new environment, right?
Yeah. I mean,
it's been so fun to see this fall over our last camping trips. Like, we'll pull in, we'll unhitch, and within 5 minutes, the boys have, like, taken over the campground.
Well, they're getting the lay of the land. They want to know. They know that everything is in a different place at every campground. It might have different things. They ask us, you know, oh, what's going to be here or there? So we get there, and they'll be like, okay, where's the playground? Where's the field? Where's this? Where is that? Let's go explore.
Is there a river? Is there a stream?
Yeah, and they really do.
They don't shy away from it. They want to go out and explore it.
Yeah. So they understand what it means to go into a new environment and to adapt to that and sort of adapt their expectations too. Every campground that we stay at has different amenities.
There's not a bounce pillow at every campground.
No, so they adapt their expectations to it. Whereas when we pulled into Moorings up in Maine,
which did not have all the family stuff that we're used to.
But there was a beach down there.
And they went down there and took over and had a blast.
So that was the thing. Oh, can we go down to the beach? Of course, let's go down to the beach. So, you know, I feel that that's a quality that they can take with them.
A new school, their first year of college. I mean, what a positive character trait for a kid to have or an adult to have, to be able to not only survive in a new environment, but to thrive in a new environment. And we think by bringing them to all these different campgrounds, they really are learning to thrive in new environments.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next thing on the list is sociability. And we really believe that we are raising some very social boys and in positive ways and in ways that we really like.
Yeah. So the campground happens to be right now sort of a model for an older generation of sociability.
Yeah, it's like the 1950s or 60s again in terms of a neighborhood feel, a neighborhood vibe.
And I know that some people still live in neighborhoods where people are like out in the streets, kids are playing.
But lesser and lesser.
That is not the standard model at this point. And we love our town that
we live in.
We live
in a very friendly neighborhood.
Very friendly.
But it's not like we open the front door and let the boys run out and run amok and go play stickball or whatever it is.
And we have incredibly nice neighbors, and yet we're not standing out at the curb talking to them very often or
American life has changed, but campground life has stayed refreshingly the same.
Yeah. So when we pull into a campground, our boys have watched for years as we quickly make friends with people all around us.
Yeah, so in a sense, they're mimicking our sociability at a campground.
And they do the same thing now. We went to the Philadelphia Westchester KOA
for
Halloween weekend. I took them down to the playground while you were setting up camp. We happened to meet kids that were their age. And when I say we met them, the boys met them. I did not meet them. The boys completely.
They do at 5 years old. They go out and meet friends on their own. And I will say I could not do that at five.
Yeah.
They introduce themselves.
And they tell their friends where they're from. Like, they'll be like, oh, we're from New Jersey.
Well, what state are you from?
Because they get it. Everybody's from different places.
I remember being on vacation and my mother introducing me to other kids to play with because I was nervous. And I love the fact that they have sort of the self-confidence or whatever you want to call it to run up to other kids, even kids that are a little older than them, and just kind of get in the mix.
Those boys were at our camp replying. And because of that, their parents came over and we met their parents. We were all hanging out.
Yeah, and Max and Theo brought them back over to our camp for snack time.
Yeah. And then they all planned, and I'm telling you, the kids planned trick-or-treating together. It was like the kids were like, oh, where are you going? Yeah. And we were trick-or-treating with kids that the boys had met the day before.
The boys had organized it, basically.
Oh, absolutely. Like, we had to go along with the program because the boys would have completely lost their marbles if we hadn't. But they were like, they're going now. We need to get going. I was like, okay, well, let's go. We basically trick-or-treated in, like, a gang of kids that they had just met.
Yeah. I mean, so one of the great things about RVing is that you do meet so many new people. And it's not just for the adults, though.
Right.
I mean, the kids are also meeting new people. And I want my boys to be unafraid to go out and meet new people in the world.
And to enjoy those passing acquaintances too. I think there's such a value in that. You know what? They're not going to be best friends with the kids they played
soccer
with.
They have their best friends at home.
Yeah.
But they can enjoy this friendship now.
But how important is that, that these people pass through our lives and really make an impact? And
they can.
You have those memories and you have those wonderful sort of interactions with people that you never would have met otherwise. And
yeah.
I think that's important.
So we think through all this travel, we're raising very social children. Now, the next thing on the list, we think that we're raising kids with a very strong sense of imaginative play.
Yeah. Well, and we know that that's an issue in this generation, right?
Oh, my gosh. It's been written about.
Right.
Over and over.
Over and over again. And there is the issue of screen time with this generation that we have to, as parents, continually fight against, and it can be exhausting. And then there's also the issue of hyper-scheduled kids.
Yeah, that's been a big thing for a long time, that every second of every day is mapped out for kids of this generation. And we resist that, but it is a kind of a strong pull in our culture.
Absolutely. And the boys get sucked into it too, because even if they go to school all day, they want to know, like, what are we doing this afternoon? And they want, like, an organized activity. I mean, our boys are very activity oriented. They want us to, like, sign them up for things. So these camping trips for us are just delightful in watching our boys just be outside playing from dawn to dusk.
Yeah, I mean, they will spend 2 to 3 hours sometimes playing with other kids at the playground in really long, unstructured play. And we know there's research out there saying that that's going to – you raise more creative kids that way for
and
one
in the
thing.
Way that we played more when we were young, where they go from one thing to the next. You know how they're like, oh, we're going to go to the bounce pillow now, and then they're going to go over to the
playground. And they're
playground.
Creating their own fun. They're being creative.
It's pickup games at the playground that are like all of a sudden – it's pirates at the playground or the hide-and-go-seek.
They're not being passively entertained by a screen. They're out there making it happen for themselves, and they're out there really entertaining themselves.
Yeah.
They don't get bored at the campground, do
they? No.
Our boys have never said that? Not even on a rainy day, honestly.
No. They've got an agenda.
Now, the next thing is we are raising really physically active children, and it sounds corny, but I don't care. I think we are seeing our sons grow up healthy and strong. And I think a big part of that is that we're out camping and we're out hiking and we're out fishing and we're out having adventures all summer long and on a lot of our weekends.
Yeah. It is not easy to physically challenge our kids, I think, in the way that we do. And we don't want to, like, communicate the idea that it is totally awesome to take our kids hiking all the time. We love hiking. And so we make that a priority when we travel.
And let's keep it real. They do whine.
There's a lot
before
of belly
hiking
aching.
A lot.
Yeah. Oh, we'll be like, oh, we're going, you know, on this hike.
No,
this
we want to stay at the playground.
Yeah. Go to the pool, blah, blah, blah. Okay, go to the beach, whatever it is. But we feel that everybody in the family is important, including us. And also we feel that we're training them. They're in boot camp.
They're in boot camp for hiking in Glacier National Park.
And then when we get to the hike and we're doing the rock scramble.
And they get focused.
Oh, they are in heaven. They're absolutely in heaven during a hike.
And it's one of my favorite things as a father to see them overcoming challenges on a serious hike and to see – and, you know, pushing their limits. You were talking earlier today about how we watch our kids have their limits pushed
way. Yeah, right. And that's what I'm saying, like with the flexibility too. We do try to provide them with some semblance of like structure and routine so they don't feel nervous when we're like going all over the place with them. But we are – gently pushing them out of their comfort zone all of the time.
Sometimes shoving them out of their comfort zones a little
bit. Or dragging them or pulling them, whatever it is.
But let it be said that by the end of those hikes, they're always really satisfied with
themselves.
Oh,
they feel very proud of themselves.
And then they go to sleep.
They go
Then we go
night-night
and we have a campfire. So we wear them out, right?
They're exhausted at the end of the day. And
which
then,
is a terrific thing. A five-year-old should be exhausted at the end
of
the day.
Absolutely. And then they wake up the next morning.
Ready to go.
Raring to go. Absolutely.
So we love having physically active kids.
Yeah.
The next thing on the list is patience. And I have to say that we do, generally speaking, we do not have patient children, do we, Stephanie?
It honestly is. One of my friends used to use the phrase being pecked to death by chickens.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
And that's our children in a nutshell. They will like one day peck us to death. Like,
so yeah, we really feel like they need to learn some patience, and our RV trips do teach them patience. How?
Well, the interesting thing is these same kids who will not wait like 5 seconds for me to finish dishing out the food at dinner before they get their milk, they will sit for 9 hours in their car seat in the car and give us hardly any trouble at all.
Not at all. They're conversational.
They are.
They ask questions about what they're seeing on the side of the road. What state are we in?
They request songs.
They request songs.
They do. They have their playlist that they like us to move through. They have games.
Like the old 97s.
Yeah.
Who sings the song Springsteen? That's one of their favorites.
Eric Church. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, they have their favorite songs they want to hear. And Stephanie's great at playing some, you know, basic, simple road games with them.
Yeah.
We'll do maybe a future topic on closer to the spring.
Yeah, I've got my different activities that I go through.
But they will
them.
Go, Stephanie's right, they will go 8 or 9 hours and they are patient in the car.
Yeah.
And not only are they patient, they are patient with their younger brother, Wesley, when he gets upset.
Wow.
And they try to entertain him.
Keeping it real. Our
Wesley does cry in the car.
Wonderful Wesley, who is a dream.
He's an angel in almost every other way.
In the car is a nightmare. And, you know, he just needs more training. I believe in Wesley, and I believe he's going to get there.
I do too. Wesley will be ready for Yellowstone in the summer of 2016.
But right now it's rough. He does not like the long road trip at all.
And he doesn't, but the boys treat him so well.
Oh, they sing songs for him. They try to give him snacks, and they're like, he's throwing it on the floor. Like, they just despair.
They'll fill us in on what's happening. Mom, Dad, there are cheddar bunnies all over the floor.
You know, like, no matter what we're trying to do, Mom, he won't, calm down.
And again, look, we do feel like we are training them for longer cross-country trips to go see our beautiful national parks, and they are passing the test. They really are. So the next thing on the list, we really feel like we're giving our kids a strong sense of curiosity through our RV travels. How is that so?
Our boys now realize that our camping trips are a regular part of life.
And they look forward to them.
They do. And they're like, right now, we're in the dead of winter. And they're like,
they're talking about spring
they're
trips.
They're talking. They want to know what's coming up next. Now, I think that that's different from kids who remain sort of in their own environment, you know, for most of the year. Like, our boys know, there's trips to be had.
Right.
There's places to go that we've never seen, and we don't know where we're going, and we want to learn about those places.
Yeah, exactly. And those trips are becoming learning experiences for the boys. And we took a trip to Washington, D.C. this fall, and they were so curious to learn about the presidents, to learn about the Capitol. That's been – look, Stephanie and I are both teachers.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we travel, we're naturally curious. We look at travel as a chance to learn. And I love seeing that develop in them.
Well, if I can put my teacher hat on for a second, too. I feel that over the years we realized pre-teaching makes a big difference.
Yeah, before trips now, we'll show them pull out the computer and show them pictures of the hike we're going to go on.
Yeah.
Or show them a picture of the Lincoln Memorial.
Right? You know that they've realized that that's a good bedtime stalling technique.
Oh, is that what they're doing?
Yeah,
they
can say to you, Dad, where are we going? What's this campground?
Right. What state is it in, Dad?
Yeah, and you'll pull out the computer and show them pictures.
Yeah.
They get into it.
And I love seeing this developing curiosity in geography and in states. Like, they're very aware that we go to different states.
And that's unique, I think, for five-year-olds. Like, I don't think that that's a common awareness that a five-year-old would have, but they have traveled to so many different places that they understand, there's a lot of world out there, and a lot of the world looks different than right here where we are.
And it's fun to learn. And they come back, and sometimes they act like little experts around their other friends. Like, we were in North Carolina. Have you ever been to North Carolina?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it's sort of like a badge that they wear.
Sure. And they also have their own little, and I don't like to overuse the phrase bucket list, but it's funny.
They want to go to Mount Rushmore.
I know they want to go
to Mount
Rushmore.
They're talking Alaska.
Right. They get these little ideas in their head because they hear things or read things in books.
Florida.
Florida's a big one.
We want to go to Florida.
Well, you know where they want to go. Ahead. Say where they want to go in Florida.
It's not Disney World.
Legoland.
Is Legoland even in Florida?
Yes,
I'm not positive about that.
No, it is.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Because
Stephanie and I are like, no, we want to go to Disney World.
They're
like, Legoland.
There's the commercial at the beginning of the Lego movie. So then they realized, oh, there's Legoland and we want to go there. But the thing is about our kids is that they understand that that's a possibility.
Like it's a strong possibility.
They feel that they should be able to request
and they'll say things though like, well, you'll melt in Florida in the summer though, right, Dad? Yeah. Isn't it like 1,000 degrees in the summer, Dad? And in the winter it's like 0 degrees, right? They're fascinated with the climate and temperature even of the different places we travel to.
Because what happens is we use things like that as excuses. Like, they'll be like, can't we go here? And we'll be like, no, it's too cold right now. Or, no, it's too hot in the summer.
They are very curious about
that. On that, and then they start to mimic that conversation with us about travel. So you can have, just so you know, you can have some pretty hilarious conversations with our children
regarding
geography. Aren't
all conversations with children hilarious about geography? All right, so the last one, and the most important item on the list, and again, at the risk of being corny, we really believe that we're building a strong family unit by traveling with our kids, don't we?
Oh, sure. I mean, the difference in how we spend time together when we have packed up our RV and kind of gone away from the daily grind.
And just simplified everything.
Yeah. You pare things down and you know that the bottom line is that you are looking to spend the day together. You're looking to have adventure together. That's the whole purpose.
With the best version of ourselves as well.
The day isn't broken up into a bunch of pieces of, oh, you're going to run this errand and then we have this thing and that thing.
We're always dividing
and
conquering as parents.
Right, the schedule. It really is time that moves slow and that we stop and spend a lot of time getting to know each other. And,
I said in my piece at the beginning of the episode, I feel like I know my kids and they know me. And that sounds kind of simple, but to me it's very profound.
Yeah.
I know their personalities and they know mine in a way that I treasure.
I do want to say that I think that there's a lot of conversation in our culture right now about sort of the dichotomy, that separation. You can either be a helicopter parent or a free range parent. Right? You can hover over your kid and you can be with them all the time and controlling them and solving all their problems. Or you can let them leave the house and go play up the street.
Yeah, our cultural dialogue is always in such extremes.
Yeah, it's these two extremes. And I think that we are trying to find a very different version of parenting where we're not just sending them up the street to play or saying, hey, go play in the backyard while I'm busy inside doing chores. We're saying we want you to develop independence. We want you to adventure and be curious and be imaginative. But
we're close by.
We want to be in the journey with you because we want to have adventures.
And we're shaping some of it and you're shaping some of it.
Yeah. And I do want to respond to my kids as they grow up. So if one is really interested in history, then we want to schedule trips around that.
Right.
And if another is really interested in sort of
zip lining with you or something like that.
Extreme sports, fun. I love a good thrill. I love cliff diving, those kinds of things. I want our family to develop in a way that we know how to spend time with each other and celebrate our unique qualities. That's my goal as a parent. And I think our traveling helps us to really focus on that.
Agreed. So that was our feature topic, the family road trip. What's in it for the kids?
And we think it's a lot. There's a lot in it for them.
There's a lot in it for the kids. There's a lot in it for us. There's a lot in it for everyone. Yeah. And we love and adore our RV trips with our children. We will be back in a second to introduce our first correspondent.
Yay!
And we are really excited for his campground review and for you to meet him.
A month or so ago, we got an email about socks.
Yeah, someone had a question about Darn Tough Socks.
Right, we had put Darn Tough Socks on our holiday.
And if you happen to have a question about Darn Tough Socks, you're emailing the right people.
Yeah, so they were on our holiday gift guide, and we got an email from Brett Nielsen about socks. He had a question about them. And of course, being the nosy person that I am, I noticed in his tag at the end of his email, it said brettnielsen.com. So I'm always like, oh,
Stephanie clicks on links.
I click on everything. Don't send me viral link. Don't do it. So I clicked on brettnielsen.com and up popped his blog.
His camping blog. Which was very good. He's a good writer.
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, look at this. He camps with his family.
He has a five-year-old daughter and he's married.
Yes. Yeah. I went over to the About Us page and I saw that he has a wife and five-year-old daughter. And I read through his About Us page. And I just loved his story because it resonated with me. He also did not grow up camping. His wife did not grow up camping. They had never even considered buying a trailer. But through a variety of different circumstances, they came to realize that, oh, this might be a great way for us to spend more time as a family.
He wanted to make a really intentional decision to spend time together as a family. And just like it was for us, the RV seemed like a great way to do it.
Yeah. And you can read his story at brettnielsen.com. Like, if you want to read.
It should also be said he scores points for also being a Jayco owner.
Okay, right. So he had a Jayco, which, again, resonated with us. So anyway, we had emailed back and forth with him answering his sock questions or whatever.
Oh, he wasn't asking sock questions every time.
No.
But we started corresponding.
We did. And I loved, he wrote very well on his blog. And
he's also from the wild and beautiful state of Utah, which
right.
Stephanie and I have been fascinated with ever since we drove through it about 15 years ago on the way to California.
Yeah, we had to drive across country and we had to get there very fast.
Really
fast.
We were
on a very short time frame.
I was starting graduate school. We had no time to stop.
No. And we drove through Utah. And basically from the time we entered the state till the time we left
our
the state,
jaws were dropped.
We were like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. We could not believe.
How did we grow up
our entire lives without realizing how beautiful
Utah was. And we were
was.
So frustrated that we were in such a rush
mm-hmm.
because we're driving and it's like the most beautiful. Honestly, I felt like it was the most beautiful state I've ever driven through. We were in awe, but yet we had to rush to Southern
yeah,
California.
We had no choice. So you had to start classes. So anyway.
So the fact that Brett was a fellow RVer from Utah who could write.
So all the pieces sort of fell into place and we thought, let's reach out to Brett and ask him if he'd like to do some campground reviews for us because we happen to be located in New Jersey and we have gone all the way up to Maine.
All the way down to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
And all the way out west
to Asheville, North Carolina.
Right.
So we've covered a lot of the eastern seaboard.
Yeah.
But we have listeners in all 50 states.
Right.
And we really are excited to have a correspondent, somebody that can talk about some great campgrounds out west.
Yeah, we want campground reviews that aren't just located on the East Coast, especially for our listeners out there that are from the West.
Yeah, so Brett's going to join us in a second with a great review of Devil's Garden Campground in Arches National Park in Utah. So we'll be right back with that review. So welcome back. We are very excited to have on our very first guest correspondent, Brett Nielsen, who blogs at brettnielsen.com. Brett is from the great and beautiful state of Utah. Okay, so as our listeners know, we're from the East Coast,
yeah.
And our campground reviews have been pretty limited
right.
to the East Coast. So we are super excited to have somebody from out west on to give us a great campground review. But before we do that, Brett, why don't you tell us where you're from, roughly, in the state of Utah?
Yeah, I live in the Salt Lake City, Utah area, kind of in the northern part of the state.
Okay, excellent.
So are you, like, sort of within the city limits, or are you out?
I'm in one of the suburbs just outside. I actually work in the city, and I live in a suburb outside. So all of our camping in this area, we have mountains pretty close to us. I can get up to one of the ski resorts in about a half hour, 45 minutes, and there's some skiing and camping up in those areas, so...
Okay, so sometimes you guys take your trailer and we'll go out like 30 minutes away and camp, or
we have to
drive about 2 hours to get mm-hmm. to
something beautiful,
something that we like.
So
what kind of RV do you have, Brett?
We bought a Jayco 184BH. It's a 2013, and we bought it new. So
okay, great. So it has a bunkhouse. Is that what the B?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. It's got the bunkhouse in the back, and then a convertible dinette in the front. So it's spec'd at 18 feet. The actual length is about 20 feet. So it's pretty small, but it works for us. So
how's it treating you?
It's good. We've actually really liked it. This is our first trailer. When we started looking, like everybody, we started looking at the pop-ups, and we had a few friends say, maybe you ought to consider some other things, and we jumped into looking at the trailer, and the 184BH was great because my vehicle could tow it. So it was a low enough weight that right. we could actually use it with the vehicle that we had, so we didn't have to go out and buy some big truck or something to that effect. So it allowed us to get in right up front.
Awesome. So it's kind of like becoming a theme on the show here that like a lot of people talk about skipping the pop-up and heading,
which we didn't do.
Heading to the travel trip, which we were not smart enough to do.
That's right. So, used your education.
Yeah. So now we tell everybody, skip the pop-up.
Learn from our mistakes. Yeah.
And then we always apologize to all the listeners right. out there who have
but
pop-ups.
But if you have a pop-up, that's right. just fine.
Okay. We love you, too.
We love you.
So Brett, we're super excited for this campground review. So what campground are you going to be talking about tonight?
We'll talk about Devil's Garden in Arches National Park.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about why you like it and
Why
we should go.
Yeah, so if you're familiar with Utah at all, our license plates actually have the delicate arch on the license plate. And our family was all sitting around one night around dinner, and my wife's family also has a trailer. They have an Airstream. And we started talking about license plates for some reason, and we got to realizing none of us had been down to see the arch that's on the state license plate. So we said, well, we should plan a trip. And so we booked a trip down to Devil's Garden in Arches National Park and hung out there for a couple of days last year and got to see all the great sights.
What kind of drive is that for you?
Again, you'll be jealous. It's 4 hours away. So,
oh, my gosh.
That's reasonable.
Yeah. And Utah has 7 national parks?
Yeah, I think we've got, is it 5? I think 5, but then we've got a couple other state parks that are very similar to national parks right in that area. So, and I've only visited Arches and Zions, just a quick drive through Zions. We haven't done any camping there yet. So,
all right, so you have plenty more to discover within your home state. All right.
We have a lot of opportunity, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the sites at this campground.
Yeah. So that one of the neat things that that we really saw at Devil's Garden, first you get off the main road and you get into the park and you stop at the visitor center. Everybody checks in. There's only really one entrance into this park. And then from that point, you kind of go up over this this ridge and you start driving back into the park and you start to see the beauty of it. And the campground is all the way at the other end, which is about 18 miles into the park. And the cool part is the campground's off a little private spur on the road, so there's no other traffic other than people going into the campground, and it's tucked in behind some rocks. So the feeling we all had is we had this little private area that was just the campgrounds. And the beauty of Arches National Park, especially with kids, is it's hands-on. And by hands-on means you can climb on the stuff. The rocks are there. You can climb around on them. They're not roped off or anything of that nature. And so for kids, it's great. And right there in the campground, there's really large rocks and boulders. And so, you know, our daughter had a great time climbing around, and all the other kids in the park were all over the rocks climbing around the whole time. So
lots of good hiking right there from the campground, or do you need to then drive to do a good hike?
Yeah, so there's several options right there at the campground itself. So the campground kind of is a long straight line that goes from the north end down to the south, and then there's a loop at the bottom. And we actually stayed in that loop, and that's where I'd recommend anybody that can book sites in that loop. We were specifically in site 46, and it was great. It's got this nice big area behind it, really, really large. To play around and spread out as much as you want. But then there are two hiking trails that you can do right out of the campground. One's right off the south side of the campground. It's probably close to site 49 would be my best recollection. And it's not really a defined hike. It just allows you to kind of go back up in the rocks and kind of work your way back up in there. And it gives you a nice viewpoint that you can look back to the park and see it kind of an overview of the whole campground. So and what, then out of the oh, oh, go ahead.
What month were you there again?
We were there in April.
Okay, great. What were like the daytime temperatures when you were hiking there?
Yeah, so we specifically picked April because it's probably the most agreeable temperature we felt. It's about 42 in the evenings and around low 70s during the day. So we felt that was probably the best because it gets up over 100 if you get into July and can get as cold as, you know, down in the low 20s around, you know, this time of year, January, February.
Okay.
So
you want to like stick to the shoulder seasons if you're.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Definitely April, October is going to be your best bet there. So.
Which brings us to a very important point for us all the time, which is all about the hookups and everything like that. So there's no, you did not have your air conditioning.
I looked on the recreation.gov site and they're like so clear, like there is no sewer,
yeah.
There is no water, there is no dump yeah. station. You are
yes.
alone.
There's nothing.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
of course, that's always a concern for us. We've said a million times in our podcast already, like, we're not opposed to doing this in the future. And we really like the
idea
of it.
Oh, we want to. We
right.
really want to.
But with the young kids, it's a little bit, like, nerve-wracking. You're like,
right.
How is this going to work with, like, you know, just sort of being careful about your water and your usage of all of
and the you're traveling with a five-year-old?
Five-year-old, yeah.
Okay.
It's just the three of us, my wife and our daughter, and she's five.
Okay,
and then
so
in this trip, we also went with her parents.
So teach us soft East Coasters
yeah.
how you camp like a man.
That's right.
In Utah.
A man in the comfort. So one of the things that's kind of our safety net that we have is we did buy a generator, and where our trailer is smaller, we could get one of those little Honda 2,000-watt generators. So we can power actually our air conditioner if we wanted it with that generator. So some campgrounds allow that, some don't, just depending on, you know, different restrictions during the day. Typically, if we're camping in cooler weather, 70 degrees, we don't need the air conditioner, so we're fine. In that respect, our biggest challenge has always been the tanks on the trailer, right? So our trailer has a fair amount of fresh water capacity. It has a 26-gallon tank, which for a couple of nights, we've never run out of water. So if we're doing a two, maybe a three-night type of deal, we've always had enough fresh water. Our biggest issue is actually our black tank. We tend to fill that up, and two nights is our limit.
We've
got to
find
somewhere. Yeah, right.
We have three boys. So yeah, our black
yes,
tank
exactly.
fills up very quickly.
Now, what do you
yeah.
do to dump? If they don't have a dump station in the park, do you just have certain places that you know of around you that you can go to?
So outside of the park, the Devil's Garden is the only, only campground within Arches National Park. Outside of the park, there's tons of private campgrounds. And I looked ahead, found one with a dump station, called them, made sure that we could use it, and they charged, I think, $5. And it's not very far from the entrance to the park. So when we left the park on our last day, we went there and dumped the tanks. So.
Oh, that's perfect.
Great.
That's a
yeah.
perfect idea.
Right.
Okay.
But then, I mean, if you wanted to do a longer trip to this campground, you'd be hitching
yeah.
up, pulling out, coming
yes.
back, unhitching, which makes me, you know, I'm always dreaming of the motorhome.
Right.
Like how much
yeah.
more convenient to
well, no.
drive out
so
with the
motorhome.
So what
you would have to do is really only use the bathhouses, right?
Right, right.
If
and that's something we've said if we want to go ahead and extend our trip, we could just not use the trailer as much and rely on the facilities there. Because they do have, you know, the bathroom there with flush toilets, and it was just fine. You know, but if we've got our own, why are we going to use there?
Right,
so,
especially with the kids. Now, did they also
it's very
have,
convenient.
like a dish sink and everything, like any...
They
sort of area for
and
that.
Showers?
Event. Yeah, no showers,
no
but
showers.
They did have a dish sink. So, yeah,
is,
so you
this
can
is pretty
wash dishes
camping.
And stuff. So, yeah.
Are there ranger programs of any sort in a park like this?
Yeah, so there's actually quite a few different programs. They've got their schedule varies, but they've got nightly presentations actually in the campground. They've got a little amphitheater that you can go meet with the rangers,
oh, cool.
and they do a nightly presentation. And then they've got different rangers out at all the different arches and different areas to, of course, answer questions, do demonstrations. There's a couple of hikes that are actually ranger led. That
sounds
you have
creepy.
To have to file and get a permit, and the ranger's got to take you just because the area's I'll say dicey, but they do allow younger kids to go on it, but they want a ranger with you if you go.
That sounds
so.
Fantastic.
So they don't want that stuff that happens in Glacier National Park with all those tourists.
Or Yellow. Now, is like that amphitheater, is that close to the campground again, or is that sort of hopping in the car and driving to a different part of the park?
It's actually in the campground. So
oh, it's
you
in the
put
campground.
You put it's in the campground, yeah, which is very nice. So you can actually get to it. We were all the way down at the south end. It's probably more on the north end of the campground, but it's very walkable. The campground's about 50 sites. So You know, it's not huge, but it is a pretty good walk, and it is uphill if you wanted to get up there. So there's parking. You could drive the car up and park at the amphitheater if you wanted to. So
great. Now, were there a lot of motorhomes there? Was it a mix of pop-ups and trailers and motorhomes, or because it's more the dry camping, did you notice that it was more of a motorhome kind of thing?
Yeah, actually, we saw mostly trailers. Okay. So the max size there is 30 feet. Anything bigger, you can't get in.
We wouldn't be able to camp there.
Really?
Well, we're 33 feet. Yeah.
Do they take out a measuring tape?
Well, the sites.
Can we like fudge
the sites aren't always long enough. I mean, that's in the national parks. A lot of the campgrounds were made 40 or 50 years ago.
Exactly.
And the sites are just not made for these gigantic trailers and rigs now. So we'd have to downsize.
Okay, yeah, to your Class A that you want.
Or just lie, I guess. Yeah,
exactly.
No,
you can always squeeze in a little. Yeah, you can always squeeze in a little bit. So
pull through sites, back-end sites, or a mix?
There's kind of a combination of them. The best ones, I think, are the back-ends that are down in the loop, down at the south end of the campground. Most of the pull-throughs are more of a pull-off than a pull-through.
Right.
So
one
side of your trailer is exposed to the road. You just kind of pull off. And there was one gentleman that had a slide-out, and his slide-out was actually into the road. So if somebody was coming down that road and not really paying attention, they could have run right into the trailer. So, it was a little bit close for comfort.
Is the majority then of their campsite behind the trailer then in those kinds of
pull-off?
Okay, all right.
Yep, exactly, exactly. And so in ours were back in. So then the campsite was kind of off to the side and to the rear of the campground or the trailer. So
okay.
Anything else?
I want to go there, but now I'm a little disappointed.
I have another question. One more question
about
the campground. So, and forgive my ignorance of the geography. Now, when you camp at a place like Arches, are you doing things outside of the park in terms of activities, or is it pretty much like you're going there, you're in the park, and everything you're doing is in the park?
Yeah, so we stayed in the park other than one trip out. So the town right outside of the park is Moab, and there's all kinds of stuff to do there. There's tons of recreation, hiking and fishing and mountain biking and four-wheeling. There's all kinds of stuff there that could entertain you in itself. We stayed in the park and only went out one time when we had forgotten a supply and had to go hit a grocery store and pick up some stuff. But other than that, we stayed in the park the entire time. So
great. Well, thank you so much for that campground review. It's just great to have somebody from out west on the show.
I know. And not just East Coast.
This is a great
wimp camping nonsense.
This is a
RV Family Travel.
This is a great step forward for RV Family Travel Atlas.
All right. So Brett, where are you going in 2015?
Well, our big trip is Glacier, so we're going to head up there probably in the July time frame.
Jealous.
Brett, I kind of feel like you're mocking us.
You are mocking us.
Yeah, sorry.
I feel like you're
we're going to skip Arches this summer.
Yeah,
and go to Glacier.
Like you're taking the trips that we want to take, and you're being like, yeah, no biggie, I'm just going to Glacier.
We're doing Great Smoky Mountains National Park this summer.
We would love to get back east and do some camping there as well.
Right.
So
let us know when you do it. And we would love to have you back for another campground review out west. So,
yeah, indeed.
Thank you again. We'll be back in a second with our recommendation of the week, a really awesome coffee table book by Phil Noyes called Trailerama. Stephanie and I have been flipping through the pages all week long. Thanks again, Brad.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So for this week's episode, we want to recommend a really great coffee table book called Trailerama by Phil Noyes. And we've had this book for a while, but just this week we kind of really took it out and started flipping through it and enjoying it. It is an awesome, awesome coffee table book filled with photos of classic travel trailers. And I really enjoyed skimming through it this week. I did more than skim it through it. I looked through every single page.
Yeah, it's like a history lesson in a coffee table book.
Yeah, and we all know like retro's in and vintage is in right now. So this book is just filled with awesome drawings, illustrations, advertisements. He's got a section on trailers shaped like loaves of bread. He has a section on trailers shaped like canned hams. He's got several pages of pictures of the original Shasta Air Flight, which he calls the king of the canned ham trailers.
Right. Glampers, right? Take note.
Yeah. And he's got good at the kitschy language that kind of catches the mood. Then there's a whole section of pictures of old trailers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were talking the other week about how residential is such a buzzword in the RV industry. Like, it's something brand new.
Right.
But when you look through this book, these trailers from the 40s, 50s, and 60s, they were truly residential.
Well, it's funny because we mentioned that in our review of the Long, Long Trailer.
Yeah, it looks like a living room in there.
We were like, wow, we're really surprised at how much they tried to mimic sort of a residential feel in those trailers. And then when we were looking through this book, we were like, oh my gosh, they were all like that. If you're looking at these pictures, you can tell. They wanted to look.
These trailers back then, they were really heavy. So they were probably the same materials that were being used in homes, where everything now is sort of lighter faux material.
The drapes, the couches, the cabinets, everything looks like a just a smaller, scaled-down version of what you would have found in a 50s sort of mid-century modern home. It's very interesting.
Very cool. And then he's got a whole section of vintage ads. Actually, they're kind of spread throughout the book. And he's got this – there's this one – just to give you an example. There's one ad for Liberty Trailers, and it shows a boy asleep in bed, and he's dreaming about a Liberty trailer.
Oh, it's you.
And it's, yeah. And it says – a Liberty trailer could make his dreams come true. And then there's sort of like this thought bubble that shows you what he's dreaming, and it shows him fishing by a stream. And it's just like so very like Boy Scouty or something. And so very like such a throwback. It was awesome. There's also a really cool section of old photos of Hollywood stars, because apparently that was a really big thing in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s. A lot of Hollywood stars had Airstreams and had trailers. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm also a film teacher at school. I do a film appreciation class. And
I do say so myself.
If I do say so myself.
I'm a little bit of a film aficionado.
a cinephile, as it were. And this week, I'm showing my students Double Indemnity by Billy Wilder, which stars Barbara Stanwyck. And there is a picture of Barbara Stanwyck stepping out of her vintage trailer. And it's got a name to it. It's called Stanwyck's Shanty.
Are you going to bring this in for your students?
I actually probably
you
should.
Are. Right?
I wasn't. Yeah, I honestly wasn't thinking, but we could do a little show and tell.
Yeah.
So look, this book is
it's
really fun. Okay, and if you're into vintage, if you're into retro, if you're a travel
or
trailer,
if
person,
you're a glamper and you have your trailer all decked
and
out,
you just need a coffee table, if you just need
goodness.
To put that last touch in your Shasta reissue, you might want to put a copy of Trailerama down. There's a lot. There are truly a lot of pictures of the original Air Flights, and then there's also a whole section on Airstream.
And we'll put a picture
end.
Of it and a link in the show notes to that too.
Yeah,
right?
And it's like $19.99 on Amazon right now, so it's a good price. Highly, highly recommended.
Fun.
Trailerama by Phil Noyes. We'll be back in a second. Stephanie's wrapping up the show alone tonight.
My day started at 5:30 this morning. I was on my way to work by 6:50, getting the kids from school at 4 o'clock, eating dinner at 5:30, and baths in bed by 7. In between all of these major checkpoints, there was lunch packing and dish unloading and oatmeal making and face wiping and milk pouring and media navigating. Today was nothing special. Today was busy. Most days are. I'm a bit routine obsessed. The only way I can get through one of my typical weekdays is by having a mental checklist, marking it off in my mind, making sure that every necessary thing is accomplished by the time I kiss my boys goodnight. I don't really feel guilty about this. I'm not one of those people that can relax amidst the chaos. If there is a baby toy on the floor, it must be picked up. This tendency of mine is mostly positive, helping my family navigate those rough seas without feeling like we are on a sinking ship. However, some days I realize I am losing perspective, saying not right now when I should be saying yes, absolutely, right this minute. Let me be clear. I do not feel guilty about taking the time to do my daily chores. I believe in making my family a healthy dinner every night, and I believe everyone should be picking up after themselves before settling in for the evening.
But all of these things that I spend time doing will be quickly undone in a very short amount of time. There will be crumbs on the floor. There will be another mountain of laundry. So the question occurs to me, in the middle of all of these necessary and good tasks, what permanent things did I do today for my children? What did I offer them that will stay forever, that will change the way they behave towards one another, that will, in a tiny or big way, help them become happier, more loving, more lovable human beings? Tonight, we taught Wes to dance to Sam Cooke. Max modeled some sweet moves, and we all laughed when the baby tried his hardest to mimic them. It was a busy day. Our permanent moment was small. But through it, we hope we told our children that we love music and we love them, and spending time dancing together can shake off the stress of a long day. I suspect one of the reasons we love traveling with our children so much is that it takes us out of the daily grind and helps us focus on the big picture. When we are somewhere new and exciting, we don't get bogged down in errands and to-do lists. All we do is wonder, what could we do today that will be fun and fabulous and will help shape our children in the years to come? So tomorrow, do the dishes and the laundry and the vacuuming, and then do at least one thing that is fun and fabulous, even if it is just dancing to Sam Cooke before bed. The carpet will get dirty again, but the music will stay the same, settling somewhere deep inside of them and forming a soundtrack for their lives. Good work, parents.